The Torah tells us in Parshas Tetzaveh about the Big Day Kuhuna. One of the Big Day Kuhuna is the tzitz, the golden plate that goes on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. The Torah tells us, V'haya al-mitzach Aharon, and then at the end of the Pasuk it says, V'haya al-mitzcho tamid d'ratzon lahem lifnei Hashem, that the tzitz should be on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, tamid, always, as a way of finding favor on behalf of Klal Yisrael before Hashem. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Zayin Amid Beis, as well as the Gemara Menachos, Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, extrapolates from the tzitz a halacha about tefillin. So the Gemara in Yuma and Zayin Amid Beis quotes Rabbi Yehuda, who says, "Tamid l'ratzon lahem lefnei Hashem." What does that mean? So, "Hahu tamid shelo yasiach daito mimenu." Rabbi Yehuda says that the Kohen Gadol was forbidden from having a lapse of focus, a hesach hadas, from the tzitz. Kederaba bar Rav Huna, and this is related to the halacha of Rabba bar Rav Huna. The Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Chayav Adam lemashmish betfilav. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says that a person is obligated to feel his tefillin at all times, to touch his tefillin at all times. Kal v'chomer mitzitz. We learn that out as a kal v'chomer. And the Gemara says, Umatzit she'in bo ela azkara achas. Amra Torah amitzcho tamid shalo yasiach daito mimenu. The tzitz which mentions Shem Hashem. How many times? One time. What does the Torah tell us about it? V'haya al mitzcho tamid l'ratzon lahem lefnei Hashem. He has to be thinking about it at all times. He cannot have a hesach hadas. There's only one name of Hashem and he can't have a hesach hadas. So then tefillin, sheyesh bahen azkaros harbe, the tefillin which in their parshios mentioned the name of Hashem many, many times, al achas kama v'kama kal v'chomer, that one cannot have a hesach hadas from the tefillin. So from this halacha in Yuma Dav Zayin to the Dav Ches, as well as Menachos Lamed Vav, what we learn is that there's an isur of hesach hadas from tefillin. One is not allowed to forget about his tefillin, so to speak. He can't have a lapse of concentration on the tefillin. And what's more, we have a halacha that seems to help one with preventing a hesach hadas, which is chayev adam lemashmish betfilav b'chol sha'av v'sha, that we are obligated to touch the tefillin while we wear them. So I want to investigate, want to try to study these halachos together with you. And we're going to focus on three major questions. Number one, the Iser Hesach Hadas. What's the nature of that prohibition to have a lapse of focus on the tefillin? Number two, the obligation of mishmush, of touching the tefillin. And what's the relationship between the Isur and the Chiyuv? The prohibition to forget or to have lack of concentration, and the obligation to move it around. And number three, what is really this connection that underlies the tefillin and the tzitz? V'haya al mitzcho tamid, that we learn the halacha about the tefillin from the tzitz. So let's begin with the Isur Hesach Hadas. What exactly is the reasoning for this Isur? So some, including the Yireim and the Ravya, the Yireim in Shin Sadi Tes, the Ravya in Aleph Kuf Nun Hei, they say that the reason why one is forbidden from losing concentration on the tefillin is because of a concern that the tefillin may fall off and be trampled, be stamped upon. And that would be a terrible degradation of the tefillin. So when we're wearing the tefillin, we need to concentrate on the tefillin to make sure that nothing terrible happens to the tefillin. That, according to the Yireim and the Ravya, is the reasoning for the Isur of the of Hesach Hadas. And with that approach, they're able to explain a question of Tosos. Tosos in Yuma and Daf Ches has a kasha. They say the Gemara learns a kal vachomer from tzitz to tefillin. Tzitz mentions Shem Hashem only once. Tefillin has many Shemos Hashem. So if you're not allowed to have a Hesach Hadas from tzitz, certainly you can't have Hesach Hadas from tefillin. Tosos says, hold on, these are not comparable. Because the name of Hashem on the tzitz, was it covered? No, it was exposed. The names of Hashem in the tefillin, what are they? They're covered. So says Tosos, an exposed Shem Hashem, we have to be much more concerned about. So you can't say, it's one to many, kal v'chomer from one to many. No, you can't make that kal v'chomer. Because we're also going from an exposed Shem to a concealed Shem. So the Yireim and the Ravya, they answer Tosos' question by saying, No, no, no. What we're concerned about here is not the affront to the Shem Hashem, but rather the trampling of the tefillin. For that, we don't care whether the Shem Hashem is exposed or concealed. So the fact that the tefillin have more Shemos Hashem now is a good kal vachomer. So for them, it seems that this is a din d'oraisa. It's a tried and true kal vachomer. However, Tosos, based on their question, says, you know what? It must be that the kal vachomer is only an asmachta. It must be that this is a din d'rabbanon. Because the kal vachomer has a major pircha. There's a major hole in the kal vachomer. The Shem Hashem of the tzitz is exposed and the tefillin is concealed. So the kal vachomer doesn't really work. Therefore, say the Tosos, that what? This is a din d'rabbanon. The Isser Hesach Hadas is a din d'rabbanon. The Chiyuv Mishmush is a din d'rabbanon. So it seems then, from Tosfos, that what really lies at the root of the Isser, of the Hesach Hadas, it's not about the concern that the tefillin are going to be trampled. It's the concern for an affront, for a disrespecting of the Shem Hashem. So if a Shem Hashem is exposed, that concern is heightened. There's even more at risk when the Shem Hashem is exposed than when it's concealed. And therefore, the kal vachomer is not really a good kal vachomer, so we have to say that it's really a din d'rabbanan. The Rambam seems to take a third approach to this halacha. The Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tefillin seems to convey the idea, seems to articulate, that the Isser of Hesach Hadas is because when a person has a Hesach Hadas, there is an intrinsic, internal chisaron, something lacking in the mitzvah of tefillin, in the kiyum ha-mitzvah of tefillin. Why do I say this? The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Dalet Chaf Hei, describes very beautifully that when a person wears tefillin, his mitzius is that he's an onav v'yirei shamayim, someone of humility and fear of heaven. When he's wearing his tefillin, he is not, he doesn't follow, he's not attracted to schok and sicha betela, to frivolity and needless conversation. He doesn't think bad thoughts. When he's wearing his tefillin, he's thinking about the truth and he's thinking about righteousness. Says the Rambam, that when a person wears tefillin, the tefillin define his personality. The tefillin are reflective of his experience of being a Yirei Shamayim, an Anav v'Yirei Shamayim. And therefore, says the Rambam, when a person can't adhere to those standards, for example, someone who's mitzta'er, he's in great distress, umi she'in daito miyusheves v'nechona alav, someone who's he's totally farklemt, he can't think straight. That person, says the Rambam, is exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin. Because tefillin defines the person. If the person is not able to meet those standards, then he can't wear the tefillin. Because then the tefillin are not playing their role of defining the character. Because he can't reach the standards that the tefillin seek to lay upon him. So therefore, what emerges from the Rambam is that the Hesach Hadas, when a person has Hesach Hadas, what that means is that he's not a Gavra Haroi L'Tfilin. He's not a person who's fit to wear Tfilin. Because part of the Levish HaSat Tfilin, part of being Muchter in the Tfilin, part of being crowned with Tfilin, is that a person is concentrated on the messages of the Tfilin, namely, his Yir HaShamayim. He has a Hesach Hadas, he's just not a person who is fit for the tefillin. That is the Isur of Hesach Hadas. When one wears tefillin, he needs to be present, he needs to be conscious, he needs to be feeling and experiencing what it means to be a person who's wearing tefillin. Hesach Hadas means that he has a lacking in that. So what about the Kasha from Tosos? What about the Kal Vachomer? The problem with the Kal Vachomer, that the tzitz has one name, the tefillin have many names. I think the Rambam can easily deflect that kashya. He can say that the kal vachomer that the Gemara is making from the tzitz to the tefillin, it's not about the degradation to Shem Hashem. Because from that perspective, in Achinami, Tosus is right. There's more of a degradation to an exposed Shem Hashem than to a concealed Shem Hashem. But that's not what the kal vachomer is. That's not what the Isser is rooted in. For the Rambam, the Isser is not rooted in the degradation to the Shem Hashem, but rather in the personal impact of being crowned with Shemos Hashem. So if you're crowned with multitudes of Shemos Hashem, well then the item that is crowning you is even more sanctified, says the Rambam, than the tzitz, which has only one shame. So for the Rambam, the Isser of Hesach Hadas really relates to the impact that the tefillin have on the gavra that is wearing the tefillin. Based on this, we can explain as well what type of Hesach Hadas would be included in this Isser. So this was a Machlokas Rishonim. Right now we don't have time to go into all of the ins and outs of the discussion. Rabbi Nuyona in Brachos Yidalet Amid Beis in the Rif says that the Hesach Hadas that is forbidden is only a Hesach Hadas that engenders Schok V'Kalas Rosh, only something that leads to frivolity. The Shagasari in a Chuvan Lamites, he tries to bring proofs that that's not the case, but rather all Hesach Hadas, any lapse of focus from the tefillin, is prohibited. And I think that for the Rambam, the definition or the parameters of the Hesach Hadas that are forbidden fall somewhere in between. And the truth is that the Or Zeruah says the same. The Bir Halacha quotes the Or Zeruah in Arachai Memdalid. It's the Or Zeruah in Simin Tav Kuf Peihei. And that is that all Hesach Hadas that undermines Yirah Shamayim is going to be the Hesach Hadas that is problematic. So how does that play out in practice? So for example, some of the Rishonim and Achronim are bothered. If we really say that you can't have any Hesach Hadas from the tefillin, how can you daven while wearing tefillin? How can you say Kriya Shema while wearing tefillin? Don't you have to have Kavana on the Kriya Shema? So how can you have Kavana on the Kriya Shema and the tefillin simultaneously? If you have Kavana on the Kriya Shema, you don't have Kavana on the tefillin. That's a Hesach Hadas from the tefillin. It's a catch 22. So it's fascinating. The Shita Mekubetz Simenacho says, you know what? You're right. But we say Ho'usik B'mitzvah Pater Mina Mitzvah. So if you want to fulfill Kriya Shema, you can't have Kavana for tefillin. But if we say, like the Rambam, that the idea of Hesach Hadas and tefillin is that when there's a Hesach Hadas, there's a pigam in the gavra who's wearing the tefillin, because the tefillin is supposed to define the character of the gavra, and if there's a Hesach Hadas, then he's not connected to the tefillin that are characterizing him. So then we can say that, no, as long as he's engaged in activity that promotes Yirah Shamayim, then of course there's no problem with Hesach Hadas. Adarabba, if you're engaged in something that promotes Yirah Shamayim, that's a kiyum in the tefillin. That's why you dafka should wear tefillin when you daven. Why you dafka should wear tefillin when you say Kriya Shema. So the Or Zeruah, and the Rambam implies this way as well, they say that no, of course there's no problem with Hesach Hadas during tefillah, because tefillah itself is a kiyum in the tefillin. The idea is not that you have to be thinking tefillin, tefillin, tefillin throughout all of davening. The idea is that you have to be conscious of your stature as a gavra who's wearing tefillin. When you're engaged in Yirah Shamayim, that's exactly what you're supposed to be and what you are when you're wearing tefillin. You're a Yirah Shamayim. This has another nafkamina. The Rishonim tell us, the Ramban and Torah Sa'adam writes, that an avel is forbidden to wear tefillin on the first day of avelos. This is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, in Simin Shin Peches. Why? The Ramban writes, because the Avel will not be able to be miyashiv his das. He won't be able to have a calm nature that will allow him to wear tefillin. So some ask, why should the Avel be forbidden to wear tefillin? If he's in Avelos, he's certainly not doing schok v'kalas rosh. Certainly not engaged in frivolity. But the Imek Bracha, Rabbi Yair Permanchik, in his Sefer, in the chapter on tefillin in Simin Hei, he says that no, this coheres with the position of the Rambam. The Rambam says that whenever you're not in a state where you are connected to Yirah Shamayim, you can't wear the tefillin. You're exempt from tefillin. The Avil is also not in a state where he's connected to Yirah Shamayim. Not because of frivolity, but because of the great sadness, sorrow, and distress that he's experiencing. Either one on that, you know, emotional pendulum, so to speak, can be a state of turmoil that undermines Yirah Shamayim. And if Yirah Shamayim is missing, that's the Isser of Hesach Hadas. because the Isser of Hesach Hadas is to uproot what the tefillin are supposed to do, which is define the person as a Yerei Shamai. So if this is the case, now we can transition to the second question, which is, why is there an obligation to touch the tefillin, to move the tefillin around, the Chiyuv Mishmush? So the Trumas HaDeshen, in the Psakim, Kuf Chaf, he says, you know why you have to move the tefillin around? Because you have to make sure that the tefillin don't move to the wrong place. You have to make sure that they're in the proper place. Another way of saying why there's an obligation of mishmush would be to say that it's to protect from a hesach hadas. We really don't want to have a hesach hadas. To make sure to put a fence around the hesach hadas, we touch the tefillin and we move them around. I think the Rambam articulates a third approach, which is not so much that it's a sur meira of we can't get to hesach hadas, so therefore we have to move the tefillin around, but rather it's an ase tov. That is to say that the moving around of the tefillin is a positive kiyum of consciousness. The iser hesach hadas is to have a lack of presence and consciousness with the tefillin. The chiyuv mishmush is to have a positive, active connection to the tefillin. Not just to prevent the wrong, but to promote a right. What are going to be the nafkamina over here? So first of all, is one obligated to move around the tefillin while he's engaged in tefillah? The Prima Gadim in Eshel Avram, Simin Chav Chesif Aleph says, well, according to the Trumas HaDeshen's reasoning that it's to make sure that the tefillin doesn't move to the wrong place, we shouldn't distinguish between tefillah and non-tefillah. You should have to touch it all the time. However, according to the other opinions that this has to do with Hesach Hadas, and we just said that during tefillah, there's no concern for Hesach Hadas because you're engaged in Yirah Shamayim, so then you wouldn't have to touch the tefillin during tefillah. And that's the way that we paskin the Magen Avram in Mem Dalet Beis, paskins that way, as well as the Mishnah Berurah in Chav Ches Beis. Now, there are a couple of exceptions. The Shulchan Aruch writes that when we say the Psukim, that we touch the tefillin, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a minog that during the bracha of Oter Yisrael B'Sifara, which is an allusion to tefillin, that one touches the tefillin, there is such a minhag. So there are certain exceptions to that rule, but the chiyuv lemashmish, the chiyuv to touch, that does not apply during tefillah, because one's already engaged in Yirah Shamayim. What about a bracha on moving the tefillin? Tell me a bracha, I've never heard of such a thing. Well, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, says that the Rabbanon de Beirav Ashi would make a bracha whenever they were mimashmish their tefillin. The Rabbanon de Beirav Ashi would make a bracha when they moved their tefillin around. What's this about? So, some Rishonim want to say that the reason for the bracha was because the tefillin got misplaced and they had to move them back to the right place. So then it's like a new Hanachas tefillin. You put them on originally in the right place, they got moved to the wrong place, you put them back, it's like a new anachas tefillin. So that's why they said a bracha. And what bracha did they say? They said the bracha of the aniach tefillin. Because they had to put it back to the right place. That's what emerges from the Tosas Harash and that sugya, as well as the Shita Mekubatzis and Menachos. However, there are others who disagree and say that no, this bracha was not coming because they were moving the tefillin back to the right place. The tefillin were in the right place. You know why they were making a bracha? Because they were doing a mitzvah. What mitzvah? The mitzvah of touching the tefillin. The mitzvah of promoting consciousness of the tefillin. And therefore, the bracha was not lehaniach tefillin, because it's not the maisa mitzvah of putting on tefillin. That was already done. You know what the bracha is? Tosos says the bracha is lishmor chukav, based on the pasuk, v'shomarta sachukah azos lemoadam yomim yomima. Lishmor chukav. To guard Hashem's laws. The Ran has a little bit of a different nusach, even though I think that they're getting at the same idea. The Ran says the nusach wouldn't be lishmor chukav, but rather lishmor es hatfilin, to protect the tefillin. And the Ran says, how come we don't say this bracha anymore? How come we haven't heard of this bracha? We touch the tefillin, you say lishmor es hatfilin? Never heard of this bracha. He says, you know why we don't say this bracha? Because it used to be that the Amoraim knew when they were obligated to touch the tefillin. Like, how often are you obligated to touch it? They used to know the parameters. We don't know the parameters anymore, so therefore we don't make a bracha. But what emerges is that we have two fundamentally different approaches to why it is that you would make a bracha on the mishmush. If you're touching the tefillin to move it back into place along the lines of the Trumas HaDeshen, so then you make the bracha because you are replacing the tefillin. and therefore the bracha is le'aniach. However, if you're touching the tefillin to maintain and promote consciousness of the tefillin, like we said for the Rambam, so then the nosach ha-bracha is different. It's lishmor es ha-tefillin. Sometimes the word shmira in halacha has a connotation not only of protection against bad, but also a promoting of good. Meaning, there's a certain, we treasure a mitzvah, and therefore we put gedarim around it. Sometimes when you put a siag, sometimes when you fence off, you guard yourself from bad, that's really an expression of how much you value, of how much you treasure the good. So therefore, it's the perfect bracha. Lishmor es ha-tfilin, lishmor chukav. We're picking up on the verbiage of shmira because that's exactly what we're doing. We are treasuring the character that the tefillin add to the personality. Like the Rambam said, that one who's wearing tefillin is an anav v'yirei shamayim. When one touches the tefillin, he maintains consciousness of that personality. And if this is the case, then we can really explain the connection between the tefillin and the tzitz. There are very interesting discussions in the Rishonim about how far do we go, because the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol wouldn't lift his hands above the tzitz, but we've never heard of such a thing for tefillin. The Ravid in Talmud says maybe that would apply to tefillin, even though we don't pask in that way. There's a halacha that one's supposed to stand for the tzitz. We don't say that about tefillin, although there are some Rishonim who do say that, in fact. But exactly where to draw the line between the connections between tzitz and tefillin, we'll leave that for another time. But it's without a doubt that there is some relationship between the tzitz and the tefillin. That's why we have the Kal Vachomer. That's why we go out of our way to say that the Kohen Gadol left room for his tefillin when he wore the tzitz. Why? I wanted to suggest that what the tzitz is to the Kohen Gadol, the tefillin is to every yid. The tzitz, as the Pasuk says, was Kodesh LaHashem. Those were the words that were written on the tzitz. Because what was the character of the Kohen Gadol? My Rebbe, Rav Rosenzweig Shlita, likes to explain that the Kohen Gadol is a person of Kodesh LaHashem. He's a person who is all in for the Ribono Shel Olam. His entire life is completely dedicated and surrendered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a person who lives in the Mikdash. So the tzitz articulates what is this person's personality. What is his character? He's Kodesh LaHashem. If that's true for the Kohen Gadol, then what's true for the Yid is that his tefillin is his crown, is his Oter Yisrael B'Sefara. His tefillin attests to what his true personality and ambition is in this world, which is to be a Yirei Shamayim. So the tzitz is Kodesh LaHashem for the Kohen Gadol. The tefillin is Yirah Shamayim for every single Jew. And that is why we can learn out the dinim of Pesach Hadas and Mishmosh HaTefillin from the tzitz. Should use these ideas as a chizuk for such a special mitzvah that we perform every day. Good Shabbos, everybody.